You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. The show with nonstop chirps.
All you have to do is put it in the trunk. You'll never see it again.
Well, that's true. If I put it in his trunk,
it may get eaten by something back there. You never
confirm
know.
Confirm or deny there's something alive in your trunk.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
No, it's been... Dude, I got the new truck. It's clean.
No, it's not. I was in it like 2 weeks ago.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. And I think it's going to get pretty heated with Ray, because Ray was in the Shark Tank last night,
yeah,
calling that game. It was eerie to hear him and Gord call a playoff game together. And they did a remarkable job, as you would expect.
Poor Gord's voice by the end. Like, it was fantastic, though. Like, I mean, it was such a great... I was texting with Ray during the game, and I asked him, I said, how loud is it in the building? He said, my monitor is shaking.
Well, I want to ask him, too, about interviewing the coaches during the game.
Yeah.
That is just so unnecessary. One's happy, one wants to kill you.
That's an NBC
thing. That's the American
way. But they've got... They must have that in their contract.
Absolutely, they do. And the coaches have to do it. But Ray's in there asking Peter DeBoer. Like I saw in the first period, I think it was. They were down 1-0. And he's like, you know, what do you think about that, Pete? Like, what are you supposed to ask the guy? Hey, game 7 and you're losing. How
are you
feeling?
A clown?
Yeah, are you a clown?
Something about you got to, I mean, you
I'm not sure
creative.
how you approach that.
Funny like a clown?
What, do you think I'm funny?
You think I'm funny?
I don't know. Tell me, what do you think? Am I funny like a clown?
Yeah, you got to just, I mean, you got to be creative about matchups or something. Like Joel Quenneville was the master of it. Apparently he had like a catchphrase, you betcha, when he was done. So it would trend on Twitter. Here comes the you betcha from Joel Quenneville. Have a good game. You betcha.
They all knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason why I feel like it's going to get heated was because Ray and I were texting back and forth today about reviewing major penalties.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I think Ray's going to come on and say it should happen, that they should be able to review a major penalty. I think that's going to be his take. We'll find out in a few moments. Because if you missed it last night...
It was a two-minute cross-checking penalty.
I don't even think it was a penalty.
I don't even think it was a penalty.
Okay, if you do want to give one out, that's what it was.
Maybe. Yeah, you're
right. Wanted to be a stickler.
Yeah.
It was a playoff little push, get out of the way. And then he got bumped by the other guy going by and he fell down.
Actually, Stastny gave him a shove, too. Like, he was going through and gave him a shove. That's what it was. Like,
happens 200 times in a hockey game.
Yeah.
But in saying that, well, don't give up a four spot.
But here's the thing. I would like to defend the ref a little bit, because what they saw was a force push, which is, like you say, off the draw. So it's Eakin cross-checking, Pavelski going down, and knocked out blood on the ice. So if you don't have the luxury that we all had with multiple angles, review, slowing things down, we all saw it at home going, that's a two, like, right away, I'm like, that's a two-minute penalty. Or, you know,
no, in
that,
the heat
like,
of the moment, you can understand why the refs, they called that five-minute major on Cody Eakin based on Pavelski laying on
the result, which was an unfortunate, like,
absolutely.
You never want to see a guy lying on the ice, knocked out, bleeding. And that's what was happening.
Of course not. And I think, actually, Vegas did a great job of pointing that out. Jonathan Marchessault, we'll get to his audio here in a moment.
Yeah.
He began his rant by saying, listen, I don't want anything to happen to Joe Pavelski. You know, it's terrible that he got injured.
Yeah.
Gerard Gallant did the same thing. It should go without saying, but still, I think they approached it in a classy way.
Right.
He was done for the game.
He didn't come back.
Yeah.
And but Vegas, for those of you that didn't stay up to watch it, myself included, when
shut it off.
Pacioretty scored to make it 3-0, I'm like, it's over.
Yeah, I was watching
it. You had to, though. You were contractually obligated.
I'm at Sports
to
Center.
Watch it.
Planning my chat that Vegas is a cup favorite.
Right.
Nobody else actually on the East gotten Coast. Better this year.
Nobody else on the East Coast was watching that game, I don't think. And then all of a sudden, Cody Eakin gets a 5 and a major, which is a completely botched, bogus call. And San Jose scores 4 times on the power play.
I've never heard of that.
4 times.
Yeah, I know.
And then Vegas ties it up. And then San Jose wins in overtime.
It was
unbelievable.
An insane game. As far as theater. Like, I've seen some games that have back and forth and the crowd going nuts. It was insane. Like, if you were just watching that as a casual fan, you were in disbelief. It was a stretch of hockey. Once you go into overtime, because in overtime they didn't play safe. Like, there were chances both sides. Like, it was a crazy game. And like I said, I thought Gord and Ray did a fantastic job calling it. I felt bad for Gord's voice.
Well,
by
he's called
end.
So many big games, they, overtime games,
and I think they've done a 10 spot already. But it was great theater, and
yeah,
I
but
know
controversial.
Well,
very controversial.
And there's the thing. I will say this: am I glad we're talking about it, especially in this market? Can you imagine if the Leafs were up 3-0 with 10 minutes left?
Oh, people would be going crazy. It's Carey Fraser in 93. The reverse, though. They actually made the call.
And I believe Carey did an article today with Katie Strang of The Athletic and talked about it and saying, like, I have that pit in my stomach for those refs.
Yes.
The same that I did in 93.
Absolutely. Vegas will never forget the referee. They'll never forget the moment. Now, they've only been around for 2 years.
There's your welcome to the league moment for Vegas fans.
Exactly. So we're going to get into the Leafs. Jerry's percentage is coming up. We'll get Ray's take on Babcock, the Leafs, the season as well. But joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. And Ray, we were just talking about the Cody Eakin 5-minute major, and you were in the building. Take us through that whole scene, how wild it was, the final 10, 12 minutes at the Shark Tank.
Well, first of all, the game was over, right? Like, when Pacioretty scored to make it 3-0, there was nothing in the building. It was quiet. There was no comeback. It wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And so Eakin goes out for a faceoff. Vegas had lost the previous faceoff, so they put Eakin out to take the draw. One of their top defensive players is Pierre-Edward Belmar. He wasn't available for Game 7, so he wasn't in the game. So Eakin goes out. Pavelski wins the draw. So if Pavelski doesn't win the draw, Stastny's not in such a hurry to get to the point. So Eakin cross-checks him. He loses his balance, and Stastny runs over him or runs into him, and Pavelski lands terribly. Now, right away, the puck goes up the ice, and there's a couple of guys milling around. Like, they see Pavelski's hurt, and they're waving to the bench. And so I say to my producer right away, and this I think is important for those that don't love review, and I don't love it either, except I said to my producer right away, and I'm like 70 feet away, right? I'm like, well, maybe a little more, maybe 80 feet away. And I say to him right away, what happened? Like, I'm looking at the play, but what happened? It's like walking down the street, somebody walks out of a store, you walk another 100 yards, and I say, okay, well, what did that person look like when you walked out? You wouldn't have any idea. I know this is their job, but the ref in the corner, he's looking through the Vegas defenseman, the San Jose forward, Stastny, the Eakin, who's there too. They're all bunched together. I don't think he can see really what happens. The linesman drops the puck. He's trying to get it out to the blue line. So I don't think he's focused on a play that, I don't know, I've never really seen before like that. Because, man, guys get cross-checked off the draw all the time. Like, it's, you know, I mean, you're just...
Yeah,
like
every night.
It just happens. So the crazy part is, as he loses his balance, Stastny hits him the same time. If you look at that, when he hit the ice, I didn't really notice that his head had hit the ice. I thought the way his leg folded over, I'm like, what did I just see? And then I noticed the blood, and you know, like, damn, this is not good. And so there was no, to my knowledge, there was no penalty initially.
Right.
They huddle together, and all of a sudden, Eakin's in the box.
Yep. They call the penalty based on the result of the injury.
Right.
And I think this has been snowballing with officials for quite some time. Do you remember when Rafi Torres laid out Marian Hossa?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't believe they made a call. And I remember people
didn't
being
Tyson
like...
Didn't Tyson Nash say that was the...
Nash said it was the cleanest hit in the history of the league.
And he
a little
got
bit biased.
And he got death threats.
Happened to be calling it for the Phoenix telecast. But I think from then on, it was like, hey, They've changed historically, and right. I think this is the way it should be. If you don't see it, don't call it. Or if you're not 100%, don't call it. Right. Now they're like, if I don't call it, I'm going to get crucified.
Right.
So I have to call it.
You're going to err on the side of caution.
I'm calling it.
Yeah.
And the result was what we saw last night, because obviously it's a very difficult job, but it was a botched call. Like, it, clearly that's not a five-minute major. And it did change the course of the game.
Now, you know, I sent you, Brian, a couple of examples from different rule books that people had sent to me this morning. And there is some discretion for the officials to call it, if there's injury involved, to call it a major. However, they weren't even really going to call a penalty first. So I have trouble getting my head around that. So the call, in my opinion, the call was a minor penalty. Like, that's kind of what I thought, but it took me five times to see that. Right. And it would be nice if the officials had a second look at something if they're not sure.
So but you're a proponent of reviewing major penalties or what?
Yeah, major penalties only. I was just going to say, Brian, because you can't have a guy, hey, I think that was a tripping penalty. Let me go take a look at that. We'll be there for 3 weeks. It'll turn into a cricket game where they're there for 2 weeks. Like, you can't have that. But if a play, how many times are they unsure on a major penalty? Rarely. Rarely.
Well, it rarely happens. Yeah, five in a game doesn't come up.
So would you be fine with, and this isn't a coach's challenge or anything, this is just the discretion of the referee to go, I need another look at this so I can make my mind up.
Yeah, but the only time he can do it is on a major penalty, like a potential major penalty.
Exactly, potential, because he may look at that last night and say, I'm calling a major, and then he looks at the replay and goes, that's 2 minutes.
But here's where it's a slippery slope. What if they weren't going to call it a major? Like, what if they and said, you know what, I wouldn't mind a second thought. I think I missed something there. Are you stopping the play for that? Like, what?
No, you the play would there has to be a penalty on the play.
Okay, but I would argue there wasn't a penalty last night, so they couldn't have reviewed it.
Right.
They weren't going to call a penalty.
So there you go. You've set a parameter to the rule, and I'm fine with that. Because you are right, it becomes an incredibly slippery slope.
That's my concern.
But that's where it's the offside rule, it's the Matt Duchene.
Because the next one is high stick. How many times does the wrong guy get penalized for a high stick? Are we reviewing that?
It is, and it's a slippery slope.
Well, so here's something, Brian, for a review. What if the penalty's made, we'll stop on the high stick here, because we want to get into the games and stuff. It's a high stick. What if the call from Toronto goes to the penalty box when the penalty's made? You call Matthews for high sticking. Turns out it's a guy on the other team, you know, that is inadvertently high stuck his own guy.
Right.
The call comes from the war room, and they're like, it's not a penalty. There you go. Finished.
Well,
like, there's no review task. Let me say this, because I think it's way more complicated than we all think. We just, in 2 minutes, came up with five scenarios where we go, guess what? This is going to be way harder to implement than we think.
Exactly.
Right.
And
last night, they had a call. I didn't love the call. And then all hell broke loose. Because if Vegas wins the first faceoff, now don't forget, they don't have Belmar and they don't have Eakin. If they win that first faceoff and they shoot it down the ice, and they kill about 10 or 15 seconds, I think the game settles a little bit. Even in 15 seconds. They lose the draw, bing, bing, it's in the net. They go back to center ice, 45 or 50 seconds later, it's in the net. I think Gerard Gallant's got to call a timeout there. He didn't for whatever reason. Then they get the third one. But we all played in the shark tank when it was really the tank. And I'm telling you, last night, that was the old shark tank. Oh my God. I left last night. I went to bed. We had a beverage after and went to bed. It was about 1 o'clock or something. My ears were still ringing.
What was it like after the fourth power play goal went in?
Oh, when they came back, see how they were celebrating? It was like a bantam tournament.
Yeah, they jumped into the bench.
It was awesome. Like when LeBanc scored, he came flying over to the bench and like he just jumps into the pack there. It was so loud. My monitor was bouncing up and down. you know, I'm right on the ground, right? I'm on the ice, and it's just bouncing up and down, and I'm like, this is wild. You couldn't hear anything from anybody except an explosion of noise. And you know, we've talked for all season about, oh, you know, how you pick your team and how these guys come together. Kevin LeBanc was a 20-year-old draft choice. He'd been through the draft before. And he gets a goal and three assists in the third period. Barkley Goodrow is there on a tryout, and he scores the game winner in double overtime. Somehow they scratch their way to that win. I don't know if they're going to have anything left. They're certainly not going to have Pavelski. Erik Karlsson was just limping his way around there, and then I think he probably played 33 minutes and had two assists. I don't know how he did it. But, he, you know, what's that going to look like against Nate MacKinnon?
I don't think anybody healthy can stop that guy right now.
It's a, you know, just think Colorado is rested. They're healthy. San Jose is beat up. They're not healthy. They're tired. Colorado's four wins away from the conference final.
Well, you talk about sitting there looking at it. Do you not think the Leafs pissed away an opportunity? They could have been sitting here looking at Columbus Blue Jackets coming in on Friday night, and now they're out. What is your
it sucks because it's the same guys in the same place in the same way, and you're done again.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, I'm watching that out in San Jose, and it's, you know, the first one squeaks through Anderson. I, you know, that probably shouldn't go in. And then, you know, so what are the daily doubles of, you've got Sean Corrali and Joachim Nordstrom with goals for the Bruins?
No kidding.
Yeah, right. There's just so much backlash on Twitter. The outrage is palpable. What, like, do you buy into being outcoached? Do you think Mike Babcock was outcoached? And did he falter in any way? If you think he could sit in his office and make an honest assessment of himself, what would you think would go down with that?
I would look at a couple of players that I think are, because they're in the same age, and while they're a little bit ahead of Matthews in their careers, you know, like they're in the relative same age. They're young, they're horses, they can play forever. And there's three of them that I'm going to give you. Connor McDavid, who we know is the best player in the game, Leon Draisaitl, and Nathan MacKinnon. I just did that playoff series. MacKinnon played about 25 minutes a game. Draisaitl plays about 22 minutes a game. McDavid plays whatever he needs to play. Now, I'm not saying you do this in November and January, but as you get down towards the stretch, you're down in a game. Auston Matthews plays 18 and a half minutes. I can't think of a scenario where Freddie Gauthier should be on the ice when you're down two goals. And I hate to say that because I think we all kind of love the GOAT.
We do.
He's a winner.
You know, and, you know, like, but he's not going to score.
No, ever. No chance. 0% chance.
Yeah. And so when... So
he had that chance in that last game.
You game stop. Six, he fired it.
He's got a better chance of scoring on his own net.
Stop it.
No, it's the truth. It might go off his skating in or something. Like, he's not scoring off his stick.
Not happening. So here's where I look at it. He says, you know, without Kadri, we couldn't move Nylander around the lineup. Why not? So you're down 3-1. You've got Tavares's line. You move Nylander with Matthews. You go Tavares, Matthews. You cobble together a third line. You put Marleau in the middle of the third line for a 30-second shift, and then you go Tavares, Matthews. You run those guys till the wheels fall off and the springs come out. Because that's your only chance to get back in the game. Your big boys, your $10 million and $11 million players, they're the ones that have to come through for you. And I think the game is changing. Because the game is less physical, you're able to play your big boys big minutes. Not all the time, and you pick your way through, but I found it to be a way too rigid, a little bit uncreative way of running the lines out.
Well, that's why I think Bruce Cassidy outcoached Mike Babcock, even if we're simply looking at last night. Because if you look at it, there's so much focus on the ice time for the Maple Leafs, which there should be. There's no excuse for these big boys not playing 23, 24 minutes. Bergeron only played 17. Krejci played about 20, I believe.
But
the reason why Corrali kept getting ice time, the reason why Charlie Coyle kept getting ice time, was because Cassidy knew Babcock would match. Cassidy's like, here, I'm going to put my fourth line out. Watch, he's going to do it too.
Here's the difference. He got two goals from his fourth line.
Totally. And Coyle scored an empty netter, but he scored.
They came out of a TV timeout with about 7 minutes left, and William Nylander was on the ice. Out of a TV timeout. Like, they had, what, 3 minutes to rest? And I think it was because Coyle was on the ice.
Well,
so it's like, all right, throw Willie out. That's what
Cassidy
I do.
Cassidy got more from the bottom of his roster, and you're right, Babcock matched that. Instead of going, hey, I've got an opportunity here, like Ray said, to double down and move players around. I just think in the third period when you got down 3-1, it was strap an oxygen tank on my top players and go down swinging. I would rather have them be gassed and give the puck away at the blue line on a mental mistake than rolling out your fourth line.
So here's another example. So you're rolling out Marlowe, Brown, and Nylander. They're going to score when?
Well,
not very frequently.
No.
Right? And so why wouldn't you get Moore into that mix? Why wouldn't you get Ennis into that mix? Look, Patty Marlowe's going to the Hall of Fame, but he had one stretch this year right after the All-Star break where he was really good. The rest of the time, he looked like he was 39. And it happens, and it's just the way it is. But so to expect the younger Patty Marlowe to show up seems like it's just not going to happen. Connor Brown got 8 goals this year, a couple of them into an empty net. He's not all of it. When you need the goals, I think you have to be aggressive and you have to maybe take a chance. I'll go back to Game 5 in Winnipeg. St. Louis has got nothing going. And their best line, their best line from the end of January on was Shen on the left, O'Reilly in the middle, Tarasenko on the right. Nothing happening. Take Shen, puts him in the middle of the second line, moves Perron to the first line, moves Sundqvist from the middle to the right wing. All of a sudden, they get 3 goals in the third period. Now, it doesn't always work, but my point is you can't wait anymore. It's not February the 10th. Mm-hmm. You can't wait. And it sucks because the year's over, and now we've got nothing but speculation and wondering and waiting and to do it all again next year.
By the way, you got 3 more in the next game, too.
Yes, right. That was once he got rolling, he's rolling.
You're right.
Well, do you believe that Mike Babcock is going to adjust? Do you think he'll do anything differently next year?
Okay, so there's only 2 ways this is going to go, right? He's going to adjust and change. And some of that will be after meetings and when you go do a post-mortem on your team with the management staff, or he's not going to. And if he doesn't, the seat is already warm and getting warmer, and then it would get more warm. Right? This is year 5 next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, there's no honeymoon. That's the thing. He was saying post-game, and I understand it, heat of the moment. It's a difficult position for anyone to be in. But talking about, building blocks and our programs going in the right direction, those were words for 2 years ago and even last year. That doesn't apply this year. When you sign John Tavares and you go out and acquire Jake Muzzin, and you've got Matthews and Marner and Kadri, although he took himself out of the series, Morgan Riley could be up for a Norris. Anderson's a very good goalie. This wasn't a building block. The window is still open, and it will remain open for quite some time, but it was open this year. The window was open this year.
You can't negotiate yourself more time now.
No, you can't. Not going to cut it.
8 years is a crazy long contract. Or did he get 7? I even forget. But at year 5, it's time to, it's time to advance. It just, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And they came from a long way back into a place where expectations are high, and that's because they have some excellent players.
Right.
But it's time to next year, the best teams in the league, 3 of them are still going to be in the Atlantic Division. You can't move, so you got to beat them somehow.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. They may be right back in Boston this time next year. There's a chance that will be the case.
Well, and we got to take a look at the moves that are made in the summer. To me, this is where Kyle Dubas is going to have to do his best work. John Tavares wanting to come home, I'm sure it was a great pitch that he had, but ultimately, Tavares dropped into his lap. Like, they just had to work out the contract. So, you know, you got William Nylander under contract. What are you going to pay these other RFAs? And then how are you going to reshape the team?
Like, how are you going to reshape the defense?
Well, you're right.
You don't have a first-round pick. You've traded that.
But are you going to find a way, like Brian was saying, like, the Marlowe's going to be 40 next year at 6.25. You know, Zaitsev's contract's not as beautiful as you would hope. What are you going to do with Nazem Kadri if you're frustrated with
his
play?
They might not trust him anymore.
But that's, like, there's a lot of question marks. This team could look a lot different, and it may not look as good as it looked on paper this year.
Right.
That's the window.
Ray, do you not agree that it wouldn't be a bad thing if there was kind of a dynamic switch and some things were, like, just a different look going into next year?
I think they don't have a choice, though, mm-hmm. because we've seen 2 years in a row with relatively the same team, with more experience added to the second-year team with Tavares and Muzzin, and it's not. They haven't been able to get over the hurdle. You can't wait a third time. Pretty soon, you're like, wait a minute, what are we waiting for? I think they're going to be different because of contractual stuff and through roster churn anyway, but I do think they have to think about their philosophy a little bit. Because there's enough pieces there to be better than they are, but they're going to have to change a little bit of the way that their team is constructed. And this is going to be interesting summer. The next 8 to 10 months here are going to be, there'll be plenty for us to be talking about.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. All right, buddy. Well, congrats on a great season, calling games and everything. I guess you're off to the Worlds in a couple of weeks or what?
Yeah, off to the Worlds. Going to take a couple of days here to get my head back in the world, the real world, and I think we'll be back at it Monday.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Awesome. Have a great one, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Jerry's percentages. The last guy we need to hear from is Jerry.
Fire today.
Jerry's don't want to hear from him today.
We have a contractual obligation.
We do.
We'll get to him. Dreger coming up. Back into the Raptors. Back into a crazy scene in Portland last night as well. Damian Lillard went legend.
With a bad shot.
According to Paul George, who couldn't defend it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. We actually got a text from a guy yesterday. Tim was his name. And he sent us a text saying, hey, boys, I'm actually at Best Portuguese Chicken right now. If you want me to pick anything up for you, ask my wife, who's still listening in the car.
Wow.
Karen.
Yeah.
Say, hey, Karen, tell Tim to pick up the boys some Best Portuguese Chicken and send it up here.
Come on, let's go here.
Well, I think we missed our opportunity.
Karen. Well, let's double down. Maybe next Wednesday we can have it.
And I hope, you know, I appreciate that. If Karen continued to listen to us, even though Tim was in Best Portuguese Chicken.
So she didn't change the dial.
According to Tim, that's what he's telling us.
That's impressive.
All right, you guys ready for an opening statement from Jerry?
Yes.
So hot. So hot right now. Oops. My bad. Old Jerry's being a dirty dog rewatching the Leafs get spanked by the Bruins. Because nothing makes Jerry friskier than having a second round without any Canadian teams. And my dream final of Columbus versus St. Louis is still alive. Jerry loves small markets and teams without star power. And that's why I'm a Hall of Famer.
Jerry rewatching the Leaf Bruins game
naked,
like it's soft porn.
Mm-hmm.
That is uncalled for.
Saddled up like Bobby Kraft on the couch watching the Leafs
and jacked Bruins. Up for a Columbus St. Louis Cup final.
Yes, that's his Brazzers.
Can you imagine how disappointing that would be? I mean, you play the games, you go out there, win. Good for you. Columbus, St. Louis.
I think Columbus is a really good team.
It's not about that. It's my market. Point is, yeah, Columbus and St. Louis.
Yeah, it's the marketplace.
Like the NFL just had Boston and L.A. in their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Bay Area is going to be back in the NBA Finals for the fifth time in a row. Probably against maybe Boston, maybe Philly. I mean, I think the Raptors have a real good
maybe
shot.
Toronto.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
But still. Anyway, there's still a lot left to be played.
I will say this. If you say the Raptors, that's what people in the States will be saying.
Absolutely.
Oh, can you imagine the Columbia, you know, like that?
But that's the truth. Down in the States, they don't want the Raptors in the NBA
Finals.
You're right.
You're right.
All right, let's get to the hot takes. Yeah.
Jeffy needs a cigarette and a snooze. So let's make this short and sweet. Starting with some rapid-fire Jerry's. What's the percentage on these Leafs having played their last game for the team? Ron Hainsey, Nazem Kadri, William Nylander. Jerry hopes they're all gone.
All right, so rapid fire. We've never done this before. Three different percentages. We'll start with Ron Hainsey.
40%. I just think he's going to be offered that come back for one more year type deal.
Be farther down in your lineup?
Well, he would hope so, but God knows. That's what we talk about, making adjustments.
I, what's the percentage they played their last? I'm high on this.
What is it, coming back or played their last?
Played their last. That's it for Ron Hainsey.
I'm at 74%. I'm pretty high on this. I think.
You think he's going to retire or sign somewhere else?
I just think that if you're going to reshape your back end, and if there is a little bit of a disconnect between Kyle and Mike, what you do is, he's going to take people away that he doesn't like to see Mike play in certain situations.
I think Hainsey held up well this year.
I think he did.
I think he held up better this year than he did a year ago.
Yeah,
but we said that about Patrick Marleau last year too.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that's why you're playing with fire.
You have to be very careful.
Yep.
And you have to take emotion out of this.
Okay, so if they're done here, I'm 20%. I think there's a chance that he can come back.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're low because you think he is going to come back. You're high because you don't think he will.
I think they're going to reshape the defense, and that's a complete overhaul.
Right. I don't know if it will be a complete I'm 40%. I think there's a chance he comes back. I think he might retire. I thought he might retire a couple of years ago. But I don't think Ron Hainsey was necessarily the problem.
I'm not saying he was the problem at all. What I'm saying is that he's 38 years old. He's going to play as a 39-year-old.
Yeah, you're playing with fire.
And,
I get it.
And you just have to have players have a slot to advance.
Okay. I'm at 40. Nazem Kadri. Chance he's played his last game as a Maple Leaf.
I'm low on this. I'm 6%. I think you got to be careful with emotions and all that. Can you get something for him on a value contract? Absolutely, but
I'm 30%.
You got to be careful because that was one of the things that they did look at was depth down the middle.
I would bring the band back together up the middle of the ice, and he's got a great discount contract, but he's done 2 years in a row. He sewered his team.
Correct.
2 years in a row, and there's no way they're happy with him. There's no chance. And we talked about this trust. Can they trust Nazem Kadri? You know, it's difficult to say that you can right now, but I wouldn't move on unless it's a cap crunch where they're like,
unless your name's Austin Matthews or John, people sniff on everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'll say 50%. I'm a little bit higher than you guys. I would bring him back. But
what did I say? I said 6, didn't I?
Yeah, you're real low. You guys are both real low. You think he's coming back.
Yeah.
William Nylander, last game as a Maple Leaf.
I'm low on this, too.
I'm 50. I think things could change, and I think it's 50. It's a 50-50 coin flip for me.
No, I'll go 51. I think it's a coin flip, but I think it's closer to him being shipped out because of the number. Again, it's not even necessarily like it wasn't a good contract negotiation, and then he didn't repay them with his play. I mean, it was a completely wasted season.
You're right, but pennies on the dollar, technically.
I hear you.
And here's the other thing. Kyle promised him he's not going anywhere.
Well, we hear that, all the time,
I'm going to be, 21%. I think he's coming back.
Lots of spicy takes coming out of Toronto pertaining to Mike Babcock. But Jerry's here to play cooler. Don't overthink this, Leaf fans. Mike Babcock will be the head coach next season.
Babcock, head coach next season.
I'm high on this. I think he comes back. 94%.
85. Guy's got 40. I know you don't get the...
Oh, I don't think the money matters at all.
No, I know. I don't,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, my understanding is it's a front-loaded contract anyway. You got paid a lot of money, but that it doesn't matter. MLSC, they'll write a check. See you later.
With all the coaching vacancies that are being filled, who's out there you're going to replace
him with? That's the thing. Like, people it's Sheldon Keefe, but again, I don't know if Sheldon Keefe can coach in the National Hockey League. I don't know.
You got to be careful with success at the AHL level compared to the success at the NHL level. Because they're two different leagues. And I know there's some good coaches, like Travis Green had success at the AHL level. He seems to be taking Vancouver in the right
direction. Well, John Cooper.
But it's just opportunity and the team.
Yep. I'm 80%. I think he's coming back. Yeah. Unless it was predetermined with something that's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
I think he's likely coming back. I'll just, devil's advocate, I'll go a little bit lower than you guys.
No one overreacts quite like the best sports league on earth, the National Hockey League. So we will absolutely panic and implement the ability to review major penalties by the end of next season.
That's how they roll, man. Matt Duchene goes offside. We got to change the whole way the league works. And Gerard Gallant will play the role of Sean Payton. He's going to be yelling and screaming about this at every coach's meeting.
Buckled, right?
Absolutely, they did. Now you can review pass interference now.
Right.
Sean Payton just kept complaining and kept complaining, and now they've changed the rules.
I think after that Butcher job, they're going to do it.
I think so, too.
And I think you have to. Who wants that mess on their hand? I don't want to see that again.
No one wants to see it.
I get it, but that's a butchering.
We keep seeking out perfection. It's not possible.
You don't like video replay, period. I get it.
I
don't want to see that nonsense.
But where do you draw the line?
I've been talking to some management teams, possibly joining groups of managements. I don't want to be a part of a group that happens to.
There you go.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to happen, too.
So what are you yelling at me for?
No, I don't want it to happen. I think the NHL is stupid enough to do it. I think they're going to listen to Gallant and they'll listen. You don't think the GM's been called? The owner's probably been called. The guy's been in the league for 2 years.
All you got to do is just watch the play and say, oh my God.
It was a butcher job. They got it wrong. But they get things wrong all the time.
You're right.
Not that. That's...
I'll say 75%.
I'm high on this. I think the league is going to adjust, and they are reactionary, and it's unfortunate, but there has to be a line drawn. And like when Ray was on in the 5 o'clock hour, early this hour, we're trying to come up with solutions, and we're all over the map. Like, you
slippery
have to
slope,
have
man.
It is a
Watch
slippery slope because
for.
Then you're right. Next thing it's high sticking.
High
next
stick.
Thing it's this.
Tripping. Like, what? Oh, wasn't a
Sloop
stick.
Foot.
He actually, you know,
yeah.
It was a
no,
puck.
I get
foot.
It.
Exactly.
But I believe that's what they're trying to lean towards is get away stuff away from stuff like this. So I'm going to be high on it. 91%.
Kyler Murray, who's shorter than Jerry, I'll add, will go first overall to Arizona in the NFL draft tomorrow night.
Yeah, a lot of smoke screening, man. I can't wait for tomorrow night, the NFL draft. We may see another Laramie Tunsil maneuver. Who knows?
That would be awesome.
We can only wish.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. Cliff Kingsbury, you know, he's a big fan. All the odds out of Vegas are saying Kyler Murray's going first overall. Safe money's on that happening. I'll say 90%.
I'll say 100. I mean,
yeah.
They've already basically...
Well, they still have Josh Rosen, who they took 10th overall a year ago. But they're not showing him a lot of love. He wasn't in the hype videos that got tweeted out.
I'm 100%.
Lot.
I think it's...
He's getting all the hype.
Yeah,
like, you know, sometimes you don't have to overthink this. If everyone's pointing to it and saying Kyler Murray, after the first pick is where it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, all these mock drafts are out, and everyone's like, oh, I know this guy's going here, that guy's going there. There's
it's like Carolina a couple years
no
ago.
Shot.
A couple like pictures leaked of Svechnikov taking pictures in a Carolina jersey a week before the draft.
Yeah. Everyone knew he was going.
Yeah.
That's the way it plays out.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry's After Dark coming up in an hour. So we're going to have another take from Jerry. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us around 6:25. Back into the Raptors' win last night. Felt like a sweep. They lost game one, but went on to win four in a row. Paul George, his comments on Damian Lillard last night, were they offside at all? We'll play those next.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel, quality product built to last, priced to sell.
I'm going to go with Tuukka Rask.
He played really well last night.
I thought he was fantastic last night. Like,
he had a great series. I thought he played well the whole series.
He was a guy that, you know how we looked at Freddie, we looked at Jake because of Game 7 last year. Well, the Bruins had their Bruins fans had their guys circled too. Can Tuukka win the big game? And I know he won Game 7 last year, but he kind of limped through it. I thought he was real strong last night.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Johnny Gaudreau's brother, Barkley Gaudreau.
Both French-Canadian.
Overtime winner for the San Jose Sharks.
Played 7.5 minutes yesterday.
He's a man of steel.
That's like Peter Klima. Remember how fresh he was in the playoffs that year?
That was a great move, man. That kind of pace, like Fleury, I guess you had to pull a poke check there, I guess.
Yeah, he went around it, but it was a great play by Erik Karlsson in the neutral zone. Picked it off from Mark Stone. He actually read what Mark Stone was doing, picked it off.
Little
then
feather pass.
Sent in Gaudreau on the way. Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, dominant last night.
Yeah.
Dominant. He's averaging like 28 points a game. Defensively, he's been off the charts. Now, Orlando doesn't have a ton of star power.
Right.
You know, we'll see what Kawhi's all about, and I believe he'll meet the challenge when Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons roll in. I think he'll be on Simmons. I think he'll neutralize Simmons. But
right.
Kawhi Leonard deserves a ton of love. Kyle Lowry, again, after game one, he's totally redeemed himself. Had a great game 2 through 5.
I agree.
And I think, you know, when it comes to the National Hockey League, Logan Couture, 2 goals on a 5-on-4 power play, like on a 5-minute major.
This guy.
And I loved after his first one, he pointed at the bench, he goes, that's one.
That's one, let's go.
Like, let's get rocking here.
Remember, Lucic did that in 2013. He was like, let's go, pumped up the Bear logo, and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. Well,
who knows? Maybe San Jose goes on a deep run now.
Well, you're down. They were down 3-1 in that series.
Right.
3-1. Like, you know what the biggest Achilles heel coming into that series was? The goaltender. The goaltender's been fantastic the last 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
You can get saves. It's amazing how you look different. Like San Jose, they're old and slow. They were flying last night. That Timo Meier's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Like hurdle's come into his own. Like they've got some players there. If the goalie makes some saves, I wouldn't sleep on San Jose.
No, of course not. Well, they got Colorado.
Colorado's just dangerous because of that top line.
They are, but they were the second wild card team. You know, like I'm not saying they can't do it.
Yeah.
But how is San Jose not the favorite in that series? How?
I think what's
are you going? Do you know that by Vegas they're
no,
not?
No, I don't know what it is. I'm not. I'm assuming home ice advantage, more experience,
but a long treacherous game sevens.
Yeah.
They also had
won't be easy,
some injuries. Like they're, you know, I don't know. I that would almost be for me. What do you call them? Pick 'em where it's
I guess.
Even?
But don't you think like if San Jose doesn't beat Colorado or Boston doesn't beat Columbus,
yeah,
it's
you're right. But
it's a borderline choke job.
But here's the thing:
it is. It's the second wild card team.
Colorado beat the Calgary Flames, who had 107 points this year in 5 games.
Right. Good for them. Calgary didn't show up.
You're right. But like, Columbus deserves a lot of love for just rinsing
Tampa. I'm not saying they don't deserve love. I'm not saying that, they achieved it.
Right.
They did an incredible job. But let's not forget who they were and who they still are.
Right.
They played great.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend like Columbus was actually Tampa.
No.
Or that Colorado was actually even Calgary, necessarily.
But I think it speaks to how the regular season means nothing now.
I guess not. Unless it's Leafs Bruins.
Right. Well, that, yeah.
If it's Toronto and Boston, then the Leafs are going to lose in Game 7 in Boston.
Right, right.
Everything else is completely unpredictable.
Well, I mean, this is a serious trend. Like, the unfortunate part for the Leafs.
It's, Three times in 6 years.
It's a trend. Like, it's not... Yeah, this isn't an outlier. This is a trend now and something that has to be broken. So, back to the drawing board.
How many times did Washington have to lose to Pitt? They did it a few times.
A lot of times.
Several times.
A lot of times.
So keep that in mind, folks. There's a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow.
It might take another 12 years.
Well, we'll see.
I got a gift from the Carolina Hurricanes. Do you want to see it in the 6 o'clock hour?
We'll come back. We'll get into that. Darren Dreger coming up. Jerry's After Dark. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.